Amen. I tell you, that's a good song. I surrender all. You realize that's an act of faith. Surrendering all to God. Submitting all to God and giving it to Him. And like anything else, it's sometimes easy to sing, easy to say, and maybe difficult to do. I surrender all. You know, that fits in with this message this morning. Because we're going to talk about endurance. The ability to continue through great hardships or struggles. You know, when I think of endurance, I think of long-distance runners. You know, anyone that's ever ran a marathon? I never have, but if you've ever ran a marathon, that takes endurance. You have to pace yourself, and then when you get tired, you got to continue on through any temptation to quit. You got to continue going and going. And this morning, we're going to talk about faith that produced great endurance. Faith that produced great endurance. Hebrews chapter 11. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 35 through 38. Hebrews chapter 11, it says there, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. As we look at this passage this morning, as we examine these scriptures, I pray that you'll help us to not only get an understanding of your word, but also find the truths there that we can apply to our life. Please bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we're nearing the end of the chapter, and as far as our series as well, we come across this passage of verses, and tonight, or this morning, I'm just going to summarize these. I'm not going to go into each one in detail, though I believe if you begin to look back in the Old Testament, you will find some examples, and we will probably reference some of those. But these are general statements concerning the endurance that believers in the Old Testament produced, or I guess they provided or showed because of their faith in God. And as we go through this passage this morning, I hope and pray you see that by faith we will be able to really not only overcome great things or overcome great trials, but to endure if that's what God would call upon us to do. You know, when we think of faith, we also, often think of achieving or attaining. Am I correct? You know, when we think of faith, we think of getting something or having a victory of some kind. Usually when we think of faith, we think of bettering our situation. And that's true. I mean, that often happens. You think of Joseph and you think of Daniel and others in the Old Testament. By faith, they not only overcame difficulties, but they were blessed and they received something else. But today we're going to see that there's another aspect of faith. That God will not always give us, a victory or provide something better. God instead may want us to remain right where we are, and He'll provide the power or the strength to endure whatever trial is in our life. This morning, as we look through this passage, we're going to basically see these trials were either extreme. When I say extreme, they were severe. Severe trials. Fierce troubles that really we cannot imagine unless you actually go through them. That's how these trials were. Also, we're going to see that many of them were extended trials. In other words, they were lasting. Some of these trials these people dealt with their entire life. Difficulties with no end in sight. Hardships with no hint of success. You know, if I were writing this chapter, and this goes to show you that this is God's word, not men's word, because I think if most men or women, myself included, if we were writing this chapter, we would end it or come to an ending with, guess what, everything's going to work out well. There's going to be, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. But as it comes to the end, as it draws to a close, notice, it's almost opposite. Here is where God tells us there's going to be difficult days. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. That's what happened to the people in the Old Testament. That's the lives they lived. But you know what? They made it through by faith. You know, faith provides power to endure great difficulties. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Four thoughts I'll give to you. Four thoughts. And we're going to go through this rapidly. First, they endured suffering. Endured suffering. Now, the first one we find is extreme suffering. And I'm not going to get into the descriptions. You know, you can use your imagination, or you can read through these and see these for yourself. But beginning in verse 35, it says there others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Notice right away the Bible tells us that they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Now that Greek word that is used for torture, it talks about severe torture. I mean painful, extreme pain is what it's referring to. And humiliation on top of that. Torture is what we find here. The believers, it says in the Old Testament, are those that live for God. Some of them, not all of them, some of them were called upon to endure this. And the Bible tells us, if you read there, it says, not accepting deliverance. In other words, this torture, I guess you could say, was produced or given so that way they could recount their faith. In other words, they didn't change their mind once the torture began and once the hardship came. They didn't renounce their faith. They continued to live for God. You see, they wouldn't deny their faith just because some troubles came into their life. Some extreme troubles. Instead, they endured this by faith, believing that this was God's plan for their life. And so by faith, you know what they were able to do? They were able to look beyond their problem, and they were able to focus on the Lord. And here in this passage, notice at the end of verse 35, it says that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now that's interesting, I think. Here we are in the New Testament talking about people in the Old Testament. And Paul says they're talking about a resurrection. That's what they're looking for. Evidently, the Jews in the Old Testament not only believed in a resurrection, a future resurrection, but they looked for it and hoped for it. That's what the Bible tells us here. You see, it implies that they were looking towards a future day when they would be resurrected. In other words, an eternal life. A life after death is what they were looking for and they were hoping for. You know what that tells us this morning? That tells us that by faith, they believed it was better for them to enter into eternity than to remain in this wicked world of sin. Now that's easy to say. But when it comes down to it, it may be difficult to back that up with our actions. But that's what we find in the Old Testament. These people were more interested in living for God and living for eternity than they were and enjoying this world today. In their minds, it was better to be raised up to eternal life than to live here on earth without God. Actually, that's true. It's better for us to go into eternity with God than to remain here on earth without God. And that's what they had by faith. You know, today I think our modern Christianity, at least our American Christianity, has flipped that around. We're so caught up, and I'm not saying our church necessarily, but you know, many of the authors today, many of the pastors and many of the churches are so caught up with living right now and trying to get as much as you can today in this world today, trying to claim all the things that the world has to offer, that there's no faith to be found anywhere in modern Christianity. And so, well, you know what happens? When someone loses a job or they don't get what they want, then their world falls apart. They begin to struggle and they wonder what's going on. They get discouraged. You see, their life is founded on their possessions, not on God's promises. This morning, I want to challenge you. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to put your trust in God's promises, whether God gives you a brand new car or not. You're going to put your trust in God's promises, whether He gives you the job that you desire or not. Whatever God gives you, you're going to trust in Him, and you're going to be faithful, and you're going to live for Him. See, that's trusting in God's promises, trusting in God, and not trusting in the things of the world. Now, that's what we find here. They endured suffering because of their faith. Secondly, they endured attacks. Notice it says there in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Endured attacks. Now, this refers to extreme trials and, I think, extended trials, lengthy trials. First, we find that they were verbally attacked. Words do hurt. Even when we become adults, someone can tear you apart with their words and they can discourage you, they can intimidate you, they can hurt you. You see, words do hurt. The Bible says that they were mocked. I'm reminded of Elisha, remember in the Old Testament, where he was mocked. He was laughed at because of his bald head. The Bible tells us that. You know, the world today has hung many labels on Christians. From fools to fanatics and everything in between. Many of the words I can't even use here. I wouldn't even dare use in church or anywhere else. But you see, words have been associated with Christianity. Labels and names. You know, this morning, one of the problems we have with young people is peer pressure, bullying with words. Bible tells us by faith they were able to endure this. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that someone can call you something and it's not going to affect you or hurt you, because that's untrue. Someone can say some pretty mean things and discourage you. But the Bible tells us by faith that we're able to endure those and continue. At least they were in the Old Testament. That's what we find here. In the Old Testament, they were able to continue and to endure. Also, it says that they were scourged. Now, this refers to whipping. And it would often happen. Sometimes it would happen, I guess you say, in conjunction with being put to death. Sometimes it would happen by itself. But it was a whipping is what it was talking about. Jeremiah was put in the stocks. We find that in the Old Testament. And he was whipped, put there in the stocks. Then we go on next. It says there, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Right now, I'm going to thank the Lord that we can meet here freely. And nobody's going to bust these doors down and take us to jail for being a Christian. Praise God for that. You know, there are brothers and sisters in Christ this morning who don't have that same freedom that we have today. Let's pray for them. Some of them live in countries where they can't meet openly. They got to meet in private in someone's house. And if someone comes along and they hear about it, then they got to disperse real quickly so that way they don't get caught or else they'd be sent to prison. Praise God we have those freedoms. The Old Testament, some of the people in the Old Testament didn't have those freedoms. I think of Joseph, placed in chains as a slave and then later in prison. I think of Jeremiah. The Bible says Jeremiah was cast in a dungeon full of mire. I mean, just waste and filth he was put down there. And you think about this. The Bible says that they were shut up. They were set aside so the world wouldn't have to look at them. The world wouldn't have to deal with them. The world wouldn't have to listen to them. And they were just put in these jails to rot. But by faith they endured. This morning, this may not be your lot in life, but you know what? No matter what comes into your life, by faith you can endure. That's what we find here. You know, I think it's interesting. Have you ever read the life of John Bunyan? John Bunyan lived in the 1600s, was a Baptist pastor, loved the Lord, served the Lord, and guess what? He wasn't bowing down to anybody who told him otherwise. The government made pretty much laws that the pastor had to be licensed. If you didn't get a license from the government, you couldn't preach. Once again, praise God in America. If anyone's called to preach, they can go preach. We don't have to have licenses from the government. Anyway, John Bunyan said, I don't need no license. God's called me to preach, so I'm going to preach. And he continued to preach. Well, he was put in jail for that. You know what? As far as his life and his testimony, he never renounced his faith in God. And he spent many years in jail. You know what I think is interesting is some of his greatest writings came from the time he was in jail. And also, you know what they found out? Many believe he probably did more damage to the society in jail than he did out of jail. What I mean by that is he led many prisoners to Christ during that time, and many jailers came to know God as their Lord and Savior because of his witness while he was in jail. They put him in there to shut him up and get rid of him, and he ended up continuing to do God's work. You see, that's endurance. Remaining faithful, living by faith, no matter where God places you. This morning, if you have a job or God has blessed you with a good job, praise the Lord. Give thanks unto God that you're able to take care of your family. But if, say, this week something should happen where you get a notice and saying, guess what, either the company's shutting down or we're having layoffs, whatever it is, look to God. Trust that God will provide something and just live by faith wherever God allows you to go. And that's what they did. They lived by faith and they endured even the attacks that came upon them. Thirdly, notice they endured cruel persecution. And verse 37, it tells us of the cruel ways that they were persecuted. And we've read it there. It says stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, and so forth. Basically, they were cruelly put to death is what happened. That's what the Bible tells us. Some were stoned to death with rocks. I think of Naboth. You read in the Old Testament. Naboth, now he was the man who had a vineyard. And remember Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab wanted that vineyard. And he was going to get it by deception and he couldn't get it. Ahab didn't give it away, didn't sell it. He wanted to keep it. So what had happened was they set him up and basically stole the field from him and had him stoned to death and had him killed. He endured that by faith. Others like Zechariah, the Bible tells us of a man, Zechariah, and also Jehoiada, other men that also suffered this same fate. The Bible tells us there of being sawn asunder. Now, we don't find in the Old Testament anywhere of that in detail, but it's interesting. According to Jewish tradition, and I will say it's tradition, so I'm not going to say it's scripture, but for the most part, your fundamentalist Jews will say they believe Isaiah met this fate, that this is the way that he died, and it could be so. Also, it says they were slain with the sword. I'll give you one example of the Old Testament. How about those 85 priests? 85 priests on one day, slain with the sword of Doeg. because he was a wicked man and didn't want them to went and followed what Saul told him to do. You see, by faith, you know what we find in the Bible? Not only are we to live by faith, but if called upon, we're to die by faith. We're not to recount our faith. We're not to run from God, but we're to live for the Lord. And that's what we find here. They were able to endure even if it meant death. Now, why is that? You stop and think about, why is that? It's not because it was fun, I can guarantee you that. It wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't what everyone else was doing. It wasn't popular. It was because they looked to God and they found strength. It was the evangelist D.L. Moody, when he was once asked if he could die for Christ, or if he thought he would die for Christ if the time came. Here's what he said. He said, "I don't know, but I believe God will provide the strength needed if that were the case." This morning, I think that's a great answer. I don't think any of us really know if we would be able to, but by faith, we know that if God would call upon us, He would provide that strength. He would provide that ability and that peace and that contentment, and we would be able to. And not just, let me encourage you with this, not just with death, but how about anything in life? If anything should come upon you, you say, you know, I don't know if I can handle it, but I know if God would allow it in my life, God will give me strength to handle it. See, that's living by faith, trusting in the Lord. Now let's look next at the endured hardships of verse 37. At the end of verse 37, it says there, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Now you notice that parenthesis there, of whom the world was not worthy. This morning, I don't have time to develop that, so I'm going to do that next week. We're going to have a message on talking about faith and how believers were a blessing to the world and are a blessing to the world. But we're going to look at the hardships, the extended trials now for a few minutes. This may be more in line with us this morning. You know, praise God, we're not being hauled in front of the, you know, judges and magistrates who want to get rid of Christianity, at least not right now. We're not having our services broken up and thrown into jail. But we do have, I guess you would say, extended difficulties and trials and hardships. And that's what they had to face, and by faith they were able to. Notice, some were stripped of the conveniences that life had to offer. They were stripped of these conveniences. We find there, it says, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I can tell you this, they weren't making a fashion statement. Not even back then. They were pretty much regulated to this lifestyle because they were shunned, they were cast away. And they were forced to wear these sheepskins and goatskins. Uncomfortable clothing, basically. Definitely not stylish. I tell you, that right there would cause many in America to recount their faith, renounce their faith. I got to wear something like that. I'm not a Christian. Sad to say, but that probably would happen. By faith, you know what they did? They continued when life became uncomfortable. This morning, I want to challenge you. If God has allowed something in your life or something has come in your life that has caused a little bit of discomfort, don't get discouraged, don't quit. By faith, continue on. Now here's a good question for American believers, and since we're all here in America this morning, at least here in attendance, I'll give this to each one of you. How many churches do you believe would have the same attendance this morning if there were only a Bible and a preacher? If they had to meet outside, they didn't have a building, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have electricity. How many churches do you think would be packed this morning? I imagine a lot of them would probably be empty. Some of them might still have some of their members there. But you know, it's something to challenge, think about in our heart this morning. You know, there are some countries where that's the case. They don't have all the benefits that we have. Now, thank God we have air conditioning. I'm not going to turn it off. Believe me, we'll leave it on. Praise God we have it. But those are modern conveniences. And those conveniences should not determine our life for God. They shouldn't determine our faith. It should be whatever we have, we'll praise God for and we'll use it and thank God and we'll be faithful. And that's the attitude we should have as believers. Also, it says that they were forced to be destitute. Now, that means inferior. In other words, these people in the Old Testament became the lowest of society. They were looked down upon, mocked, laughed. They were the people, I'm sure others said, you don't want to be like them. They're crazy. They love God. They're dedicated to God. They're living. They believe God's word to be literal. They believe God to going to keep those promises He's given. And you see here, they became the ones that were pretty much the the ones that were looked down upon in their society. You know, they became the problem for society because society didn't want God, and they became the problem. You know, they faced afflictions and torments, but they remained faithful to God. And it goes on to tell us there in verse 38, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and in caves of the earth. Some were forced to wander. In other words, some lost their homes and they were driven from what they had. Could you imagine that this morning, being driven from your home because you're a Christian? Praise God, we're not. But if that should be the case, by faith we should endure. That's what these people did in the Old Testament. Some of them never had a home on earth. Some of them never had that blessing. They just lived where they could. You see, they were forced to live amongst the beasts of the land. And the Bible tells us that they wandered in this world of sin. I'll tell you what, they were strangers and pilgrims anyway, so it was no big deal. But they had their faith in God, and they continued through all of this rejection. Let me illustrate this for you. I believe this is a good illustration of this right here. David Livingstone was a missionary in Africa many years. God blessed him. Well, he was back once, and he heard someone said, they would talk about his great sacrifice, how he had sacrificed so much to go to Africa, how he had left behind all the modern conveniences there in Europe, and he went to Africa, and he lived out there without any of the, you know, the conveniences and nice things that they had. And someone, you know, people began to talk about his sacrifices. Well, he heard about that. And he got up one Sunday and he made it clear. Here's what he said. He goes, "People talk of the sacrifice that I have made in spending my life in Africa." And then he said this. He goes, "Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of the debt that I owe to God?" He says, "It is a privilege. All of these," and he's talking about the blessings of the world, or the comforts of the world, "all of these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us." He says, "I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not talk, when we remember the great sacrifice which he," and it's in capital letters, "he," referring to Jesus Christ, "made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." You know, this morning, he hit the nail on the head when you think about it. No matter what troubles come into our life, there is no sacrifice we can make that would even equal or come close to equaling the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. To leave the throne of heaven, to come on, to take the form of a man, and to endure the humiliation and the struggles and the trials, and then to give his life. He didn't have to do any of that. But to do that for us, I tell you what, when we begin to think what he did, then all the troubles we have are minimal compared to Jesus Christ. We should endure, if nothing else, because he endured for us, and be grateful for the sacrifice he made. You know, this morning, because of that sacrifice, we can be saved. Because of that sacrifice. You know, if Jesus Christ had remained in heaven, had he not come down and taken on the form of a man, had he not laid his life down on the cross, had he not shed his blood and died on that cross, had he not risen again from the grave, we would have no hope. We wouldn't. You know, there are a lot of churches today that are removing that message there from their scriptures. I mean, they still might have it in their Bible, but they're not preaching it and teaching it. And some are actually rejecting some of that. My thought to them is they might as well shut the doors. There's no sense even gathering. Go play golf. Go hang out at the football fields. Go do whatever you want. But if you're going to remove that message, there's no salvation in any other man or any other way. That Jesus Christ is the only way. And we find that was a sacrifice that he made on our behalf. You see, let's endure by faith because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I want to make this practical now for the next few minutes. Faith enabled these Old Testament saints to endure great torments, great struggles. Now, I want to encourage you to read this and reread this for a while. What I mean by that is over this week, reread this passage and think about what some of these people had to go through. You see, they endured this by faith. How? First, faith trusts that God is in control. How many of you believe God is in control this morning? I do. That's faith. Faith trusts that God is in control, that he is aware of all that is taking place. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we're going to look at the first two verses and see what it has to say concerning God's knowledge. Verse 1 of Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, those two verses to me are encouraging. You know why they're encouraging? Because no matter what you're going through today, God first off knows where you are. You think about that. He knows exactly where you are. And yes, physically, he knows where you are. But also, how about just in life? You ever gotten to the point where you thought, man, where am I going? What am I doing? God knows where you are in life. He hasn't misplaced you. And then not only that, but here's the second thing. God also knows our thought from afar off. In other words, God knows. We don't have to be right in front of him to seek his mercy and his grace and his help. He knows our thought from afar off. He knows our concerns. He knows our worries. He knows what we're going through. And God understands. And so we find that God not only, I guess you say knows, but God cares. God cares. He's able to work in this world. And he's able to deliver if he chooses to. You see, we have faith in God's power is what we're talking about. Here's another thought. How about faith in God's purpose? God's purpose. You see, you know what faith does? When a trial comes into their life or a difficulty, faith doesn't blame God. You know, those that blame God, and you'll hear it all the time. You know, something will happen in the United States, and then some people will immediately blame God. Well, why did God let this happen? Now, some, it's just a reaction. They're saved, and it's just a reaction. But you know what a lot of it is? Many of them just aren't saved. There's no faith there. You see, they blame God for the problem. You know what faith does? Faith doesn't blame God with difficulties. Instead, faith believes God has a plan, and that these difficulties will serve a purpose, and that God will work through these difficulties. Romans chapter 8, if you would. Notice in Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to read one verse here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." This morning, if you underline your Bible, or if you mark in your Bible, underline all, circle all. If you don't underline or write, just remember all. Because that's what the Bible tells us there. Know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Not some things, all things. You know what that teaches us? That teaches us that God has a purpose, and that nothing in this world can distract him from that purpose. Nothing can prevent him from working out his plan, whether it's a plan for your life or the big picture. Nothing can prevent God. See, nobody can frustrate God. There's no leader that has the ability to frustrate God's plan. God will work out all things according to his will because he's God. You see, that's what faith does. Faith trusts that God can do this. Faith trusts that God can work. You see, this morning, God has, if he's allowed a difficulty into your life, it's for a reason. And keep that in mind. It's not just there because God missed it, but it's there for a reason. Maybe it's to strengthen you. And that does happen. God may allow a trial in your life to provide strength, whether it's for your faith or strength as you serve God. Here's another thought. Now, this is kind of something that most people don't think of, at least I don't. Maybe it's to protect you. You say, "Pastor, how can God allow a trial to protect you?" Let me illustrate this. I was reading a story of a man who walked by a farm. He looked over and saw this beautiful horse sitting there. And he noticed that there was this clog on the horse, so the horse couldn't go anywhere. And he saw the man walking around, who obviously was the owner, and he yelled across the fence. He says, "Why do you clog that horse? This beautiful animal should be able to run around." And that man looked back. He said, "I clog him so that way I can keep him safe." And then he proceeded to tell this man that if he didn't clog him, this horse would jump the fence, go and wander, and eventually probably end up losing his life or hurting himself in some way. And he said, "By clogging him, I keep him here. And then I let him loose to run when I need to or when I want to." You see, God may allow a trial in your life to protect you from something else that you have no idea that's out there. And God may show that to you in the future. It's just having faith that God's in control is what that amounts to. Faith that God is working on our behalf. Even if that trial is extended and going on and on and on, that God is not really hurting you or hindering you, but he's providing some sort of protection within that trial. You see, that's faith in God's wisdom. Faith that God not only has the power, but that God can make correct decisions. You see, this morning, that's what we often forget. We talk about God's power. Now, there's nothing wrong with God's power. We should talk about God's power. But how about we remember his wisdom as well? You know, God is able to make not only correct choices, He always makes the right decision. And so we need to have faith that God is making the right decision in our life and trust Him. Also, their faith. Now, you think about the faith in the Old Testament. Their faith is there for us to learn from. That's what this chapter is for. The people in the book of Hebrews were struggling not only with their faith, but they were being persecuted or at least facing some kind of troubles. And this was written so they could learn from these people. First off, so they could, I don't know if I want to say shame, maybe be ashamed a little bit. Let me illustrate this to help us understand. There's a story of a young man who woke up sick one day, went to work, had a miserable day. Have you ever had days like that? One thing after another. He had a terrible day. And eventually, later that afternoon, he got a doctor's appointment. He went on into the doctor. And he got in there, and he was miserable. And he went in, and he saw the doctor. And the doctor, you know, was cordial. And said, "How you, you know, introduce him, you know, talk to him a little bit." And the man sat down on the bed, and he said, "Doc, how's your day been?" And doctor proceeded to tell him. He said, "You know, I had this, and this. And he didn't give him names, but he told him, "I had several patients who I had to break bad news to, and this. And then finally the doctor looked up. He said, "Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to run with all my problems. I'm sorry." He goes, "How was your day?" And this young man looked. He said, "Not as bad as I thought it was." You know, sometimes when you think about it, we can learn from those that have been through difficult trials. Reread that passage again this week. You know, read it over and over this week. Because I believe when we look at the trials they faced, we'll probably say, "You know what? My life's not so bad right now. Thank God for the freedoms I have. Thank God for the provisions that I have in this country. Thank God for my house. Thank God for my job. Thank God for my family. Thank God that I have all these abilities that some of these in the Old Testament didn't have." And praise God. See, when we look at that, we can be encouraged by that. Also, as far as the encouragement, you know, I don't think Paul was writing this to minimize the troubles of the Hebrews, but he was trying to challenge them to live by faith. In other words, hey, look how they endured. If they did it, then guess what? You can do it as well. If they live by faith, and they endured those great troubles and hardships and difficulties, then no matter what you have, you can live by faith, and God will give you the same strength to overcome that. You see, this morning we all have different trials and different troubles and different struggles, but I can guarantee you this, we all have the same God, and if we live by faith, we can all either overcome those or endure them, whatever God would choose to do, with God's strength and with God's power. See, that's the lesson they had here. So the next time you're overcome by the world, look to God for strength. Look to God for power and ability. See, that's what we find here. They were to look to God to be strengthened. And I guarantee you this, you're going to find times in your life where you're just, I don't mean to discourage you, but you just may not know what to do. Reminds me of a story of an African pastor who came over to visit some of the churches in America. And he was in a large city, and he wanted to go out and do some shopping. And the pastor he was staying with said, "Okay," and gave him directions to the store. And he said, "And if you get lost, you know, there's payphones. Just give me a call, and I'll figure out where you are." And so I went out, and a couple hours later, the pastor began to get concerned. He thought, you know, he's definitely lost. And sure enough, he got a phone call. And this African pastor said, "I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at." He goes, "Can you help me?" And this American pastor said, "Yeah." He goes, "Just put the phone aside, go down to the street corner, and give me the names of the street there, and then let me know, and we'll figure it out." And he said, "Okay." And so a few minutes went by, and he got back on the phone. And this African pastor said, he goes, "You know what? I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." Have you ever had that in your life? You just didn't know what to do. A trial, a trouble, a difficulty comes into your life, and you just don't know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and it's just confusing. Put your faith in God. That's what these men and women did of the Old Testament. You know, we've been looking at all the examples this past year. That's what they did. They didn't do anything great. They didn't do anything that we would look and say, "Oh, it took all these abilities." They put their faith in God, and God provided the rest. You know, I want to encourage you this morning to put your faith in God. You know, the Bible tells us it is by faith that we approach Him. By faith, believing that He is. And also, it's by faith that we please Him. If we're going to live for God, we have to live by faith to please Him. And finally, it's by faith that we can, I guess you say, endure the trials and the troubles that this world has to offer. So I want to just encourage you to put your faith in God and to live by faith. No matter if it's a decision that must be made, or, as we saw this morning, if it's a difficulty of a hardship of any kind or of any sort, put your faith in God. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I pray that you'll encourage us this morning from your word. We thank you for those that have come out, and I pray that we'll live by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If I ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes, if God has worked in your heart here this morning, please seek him out in prayer. These altars are opened if you'd like to come down here and pray and seek the Lord. If you have any questions, whether it's for salvation or maybe questions concerning faith, please come down. We can show you.